Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening, Billy Steele. Tonight we have a special feature, a two-hour show for you. We're gonna have a two-hour show every Tuesday night now on Blog Talk Radio. What we used to do on WQQQ 103.3 FM, we will be doing now on Blog Talk Radio exclusively. And this program tonight was recorded last night during our final Q103 FM broadcast. And we have about 10 guests joining us, and Joe Lavero, who is our station manager, is with us, and a number of people that have been through supported us through the years, and a number of our featured guests. Regular guests, which would be Woody's Sports in the Ring, and John Brennan's Environmental Report. And they will be joining us on every Tuesday night as well. But I want to go right to the show, and I really hope you enjoy it. It's our very last show. The WQQQ has sold out or leased out to... they're no longer broadcasting as... 103.3 FM, and now an NPR station. So we want to thank everybody, and please listen to the show. I hope you enjoy it. We'll be back right after.
Progressive community, politics, activism, art, and music. Violin, our special guests, and me, L.A. Steele.
On this program do not necessarily reflect the views of Q103 Radio, its management, ownership, staff, or its sponsors.
All right, welcome to the last L.A. Steele show on WQQQ. 103.3 FM. And we are, Lila here is here.
Good evening, folks. It's really nice to be here. I'm here with a little sadness, of course, because this is our last opportunity to broadcast here on Q103 out of this small railroad station in the center of Lakeville, a very charming place. But we won't be gone. We will be on Blog Talk Radio. .com/LASteelShow.org. You can get us there, or you can get us by going to LASteelShow.org and go to the top of the page and you just click Listen Live.
That's our webpage, by the way.
And you'll find us. So you can get us on the internet and for a while anyway. And
we'll be on there for every Tuesday night now. We're switched over, so we got a 2-hour show on Tuesday nights, 8 to 10 o'clock, on blogtalkradio.com/LASteelShow.
ORG.
yeah. See, what is it? MSNBC's got leaning forward. Well, we got /. /LASteelShow.org. And you check that out. And we're proud. We've been happy to be with it. We got Joe Lavero coming up here shortly. Joe, the main man here at Q103. But
our format's going to be a little different.
Tonight, our format is very different. We actually got 10 people we're going to call tonight or talk to tonight. You're going to try to fit it into a 2-hour format. And it's all the people that have been important to the show. And have been on the show, or been friends of ours,
or supported us,
listeners have supported us,
yeah.
And we wanted to thank them. And we've got, the best that we can do. We appreciate everybody's support over the last 8 years, and we can proudly say we are one of the longest running liberal talk shows in America. All right, and we're ending it on our 8th anniversary. Just one more month, it would have been 8th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
March 4th, it would have been 8 years. But that's close enough.
And we beat out Air America. We were ahead of Air America by a year. Okay, we started here. They went bust, you know. Right. We're still here, okay? We beat them up by a year still. A year and a beginning and a year and the end.
That's right.
So, you know, and all the stars are gone or become senators. So, you know, we don't know where we will be, but we know we'll be on blogtalkradio.com/LASteelShow.org every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights. Yes, sir. So, anyway, at 8 to 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And if you can't listen to us live, you can always find us on the archives.
Right.
So that's one advantage.
Yeah. And you have an archive program. We have 500 archive programs there. We've been on that network since November 06. Now, I've got a short little thing I wanted to read right at the beginning, and then we're going to go straight out. Then we're going to have Joel Lavero up here in just a second. This shouldn't take more than a few minutes to read. It's from my new book called Naked at the Mic, Survival of a Little in a Time of Peril. And it's a very short essay, but it says a lot about me and about all the people out there that listen to our show and all the people here tonight. It's called The Radical Soul. And I wrote this December 4th, 2004. Something makes a radical radical. I haven't identified that certain attribute or detriment to the radical character yet. As I keep seeing more injustice and abuse of power and starving, crippled, homeless misery of billions of people around the planet, I get angry. I feel the need to do something about correcting the wrongs I see. I have discovered that it is a whisper from the soul that stirs me. A silent surge of emotion creates a tear or makes me angry enough to swear at the television news commentator or videotaped sound bites by George W. Bush or Tom DeLay or Bill Frist, John Kerry, Joe Lieberman, and virtually every American politician. I think radicals are born, not made. I think a radical has always been a radical in his worldview. He or she cannot accept things that aren't just or hurtful to humanity or other inhabitants of the planet. Some radicals are violent. The most famous and most effective radicals were nonviolent. I believe many people are born radicals. They are the men and women and children who refuse to bend to the will of nature or suffer the indignity of physical or mental abuse and demand just retribution. A radical is anyone who will courageously fight back against anyone or anything they determine is a wrong against them or others. As a radical, I weigh my options and interests and willingness before I take action. Will I go to the courts? Will I write letters to a company's president or to government officials? Will I storm the Capitol building? I am still trying to decide how radically radical I really am. I think I'm like others who are waiting for their soul's whisper to turn into a shout or a scream until we can no longer sit still or remain silent as the scale of justice is breaking under the weight of injustice. This is a quote. If the injustice has a spring or a pulley or a rope or a crank exclusively for itself, then perhaps you may consider whether the remedy will not be worse than the evil. But if it is of such a nature that it requires you to be the agent of injustice to another, then I say break the law. Let your life be the counter friction to stop the machine. And what I have to do is to see, at any rate, that I do not lend myself to the wrong which I condemn. That was by Henry David Thoreau, Civil Disobedience.
Mm. And, a wise man.
But anyway, that's from the Naked at the Mic, The Survival of a Liberal in a Time of Peril. You can get it on Amazon.com. A revised edition, okay, is coming out by Open Books Media, Open Books Escape Media.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be out in March or April. With a revised edition and 20 chapters, it says 16 chapters, and updated and a number of many more essays.
And I think that's going to have an international audience.
It's going to break. It's an international release, so that's going to be in a lot of places.
So that should be interesting to
Kindle,
see what happens.
Kindled and Nooked and everybody. So, And
one of the
heroes of the book, okay, is none other than Joe Lavero, who is here right now. And Joe admitted to me after he read the book that he couldn't get past the first three chapters.
right? And that was because those were the three chapters.
That's what we did. Well, actually, I did get past the first three chapters eventually. I had to work my way up, you know. And just, you know, when you see your name in print, sometimes in a book, especially,
yeah.
you know, you're going to read it over and over again.
Yeah. We're all kind of like that, Joe. But most of us are unable to say so I commend you for that.
Well, you know, I tell it like it is, and.
Oh, you sure do.
I do, and you know, and I know you guys do.
Oh yeah, we really do.
I mean, you've been doing it for 8 years here now,
and you've been
you know, that's a long
it.
Run. You know, that's a long run.
We appreciate
the
that.
Radio station. I mean, you know, all, the half life of the radio station. Yeah.
That's true. That's very true.
And through the most politically conservative period. I don't think there's ever been on radio.
I think that's why, you know, and I'm just going to say what I feel now. You know, I because I'm the general manager of the radio station so on and so forth. Sometimes I try to be, you know, careful, and that's when it was most needed.
Basically, that
was a voice, you know, like a voice crying out in the wilderness.
Yeah, we were.
But, you know, and I can't say that I agree with everything, but I mean, you know, hey, look, you know me, you know how I feel about things. You know, I might be a little bit to the right of you, but not.
Not too much.
Not too much. Okay.
I remember, you know, it's funny, in the early days there, when we first started, Joe used to say, I don't understand it. Hey, I don't. Where are you coming from? Where the hell are you coming from? Yeah, you're not right. You're not left. You're in the middle.
One time, everybody hates you, Leo.
I care, you know. Everybody hates you.
We got one of those occasional hate letters, you know. And I said it said that Leo calls himself a progressive, and Leo said to me, I'm not a progressive.
I'm not a progressive. You're the one that threw that on the announcement. Remember the progressive community?
Yeah. I mean, just to
keep the progressives on their on
progressive head. Liberal. I mean, there's so many labels on things. I mean, radical, populist. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and they take different forms. Now, populist could be conservative or liberal.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Louis Dobbs called himself an independent populist.
Right, a populist. Yeah. A populist technically means somebody that works for the people.
Yeah, that's right.
It all depends on what people you're working for.
This is true.
I mean, basically, that's what it comes down to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we got so angry at the system the way it was with the Democrats and Republicans. It just became, oh, my God, you know, let's break through this wall.
Here I am thinking, hey, this guy's really far out in the left field here.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hands me a book by William F. Buckley.
Yeah, yeah.
and tells me,
it was worse than that. It was about William F. Buckley, written by John McManus, the head of the...
I was going to say, and then he saw me what great guys the John Birch people are. So, I mean, and I'm going like, I'm scratching my head.
Where's he coming from?
But I'll tell you what, you know, all in all, you brought some interesting things, and I've talked to a lot of people who say, you know, hey, I don't agree with everything that he says, but man, it sure makes it interesting listening.
Well, we tried to bring interesting guests on
and
have a conversation with them.
I'll never forget the Ed Asner interview.
He kept saying,
I think he fell asleep by the pool there out in California. That was kind of funny.
Oh, it's funny. He says, you know, remember this? He says, oh, you know, he says, excuse me, but he says, you know, I've never been in an interview where I haven't had to fight and argue with somebody, where somebody's actually crediting me for being, you know, who I am.
But I think what we so much appreciated was when we first came on the show, it was at a time when people were really afraid to speak out. People were being told that they were un-American if they opposed the war,
mm-hmm.
that they weren't patriots, and people were afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And
they were, yeah.
They were very, very afraid. And
that was a time when we
felt very, very fortunate to come on and be able to speak our anti-war views.
Mm-hmm.
Because although Leo and I are very opposed to war, it doesn't mean that we think our soldiers who come home should not be taken care of. And I think they're very badly treated, and I think that's wrong. And I just don't support going to war. I just don't support that.
Exactly. I mean, you probably talk to 90% of those soldiers who don't like war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, but it's there, and
they just sent the National Guard, Connecticut National Guard, is being sent over
to Egypt.
What the hell is that all about? You know what I mean? Connecticut's going to, you know, save the Egyptian revolution.
Know.
You know, come on. Like,
oh, you
like
know,
20 guardsmen are going to save these. Gonna, you know.
Well, governments protect their interests sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with humanity or anything like that.
Right.
It's interesting.
I told myself I wouldn't get into news tonight because I got so many people running.
Well, you can throw a little zinger in once in a while.
Go Cairo!
but I mean, well, don't get too started now.
Go Cairo.
But you know, it is a refreshing change, and I know a lot of young people who listen to this show.
You know,
fascinated by it.
Tonight, the fact that this convinces me that this is a complete sham, and a government-controlled manipulation, American-controlled manipulation, when John Kerry comes out and says, Mubarak, you got to step down. I mean, John Kerry, the coward of the country, okay, you know, dictates...
Wouldn't even stand up Mubarak. For his own election.
Yeah, I mean, what a piece of work. Kerry, you're a piece of work. I can't even imagine why he's still there. I mean, Massachusetts, please. Wake up.
Well, it's those voting machines, Leo. You have to remember, voting machine.
I promised I wouldn't get back. But Lieberman...
He's not running.
No, but the worm's still got 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And he's threatened to shut down the Internet if he can because he's Homeland Security guy.
He admires the Chinese. He really admires how they run their country, and that's what he wants to bring to us.
He admires Israel, which is a Marxist state. I mean, he admires anything that's not American.
Very repressive.
I
think that's very frightening, and I hope
Homeland Security.
I'm not going to join in any of this, but
God,
you know, I
don't want to see the Internet shut down.
Well, no, nobody wants to see the Internet shut down
he wants to do that.
Well, obviously somebody does, but. The Internet is something that, you know, in this country, though, I mean, you know, they shut down the Internet in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
All of the Internet shut down.
That's right.
You really can't do that in this country. I mean, one of the things about this country is, my dad used to say to me, when people used to see communists and pinkos in every corner of the country.
My dad,
I actually, for a while, thought my dad was a communist because he used to stick up for him. What he said was, this country could never go communist. We just... You know, this is not a country that they could ever take over because of the way everything is here. It's just a little bit better, no matter how bad it is, than a lot of places, and that it wouldn't take a foothold here.
He had a good point, but J. Edgar Hoover thought we were totally infiltrated, you know, and communism.
A lot of people did. Remember,
McCartney.
I remember when I was a kid, there was a program on TV. Let me just reminisce a little bit. Called "I Led Three Lives" with her.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah.
I got a guy who's waiting to come on.
I was Larry.
No.
You only gave me 5 minutes.
No. I told Larry that you were going to be on ahead of him, and he says, "Oh, that's great." He says, "I like Joe a lot." He says, "I'll
Anyway, he's going to be calling Larry in. Yes, I do remember that. I Led Three Lives.
I Led Three Lives. Herb Gilbert. Mm-hmm. He was infiltrating the self.
Yes.
And everybody called each other comrade all the time.
I remember that. You have to be of a certain age to remember that.
The top.
Oh yeah.
But
we thought it was good at the time, though.
We did.
Yeah, it was very popular.
That was an early version of propaganda, of brainwashing, in a sense.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah, because we got told, you know. Not that I'd ever be a communist. I mean, mind you, I am totally free enterprise type of guy, bad or good. But
we have Larry Dorman on the
line. Hey, Larry, how are you?
Hey, evening, guys.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
Well, a little melancholy here.
Yeah, well, we are too, a little bit. But I want you to know that we're not going to be gone for good.
Good.
We're going on to blogtalkradio.com/LASteelShow.org or LASteelShow.org. Listen live. Go to the top of
that's
the page.
Our, well, see, that's our website.
That's our website. So
we've been on here for 4 years.
You're going where all the people are going now anyway, so.
That's right. We've been on there for quite a while, but we're going to a two-hour format on Tuesday night.
Wow.
So it'll be the same format that we have here at Q103, except it'll be available internationally and nationally to everybody. We're going to share the goods with everyone.
Well, we have a very large audience there, and already, because we've been on for 4 years, in the same hour, 8 o'clock hour, but Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays.
But we wanted to thank you very much for contributing to the success of our show. It's been people like you who've made our show interesting and timely, and we want to thank you.
And Joe's sitting here. He's in the studio.
Joe Lavero's here with us.
Hi, Larry.
Joe, how are you?
Good. And he appreciated all of your support as well to help the show going.
Well, you guys have done something, and I know the station appreciates it, and the station should be credited, Joe, for having your show. But, you know, we all bonded, the three of us, I think, bonded, right away after I first,
Lila
up in Northwest Connecticut, and we did a newsletter story for our union newsletter. And I've always used you guys as an example of, grassroots media activists, and we didn't always agree either, and I thought that was
that's okay,
fun and enjoyable. But I've always tried to tell members who, when our union members say, you're not doing enough, and I'd say, hey, you guys have to do things too, and here's an example. Here's where you can take some of the power into your own hands. And I'm a little bit sad because I still think that we need people like you as a counterbalance to all of the right-wing corporate radio that's going on. Joe's probably cringing right now, but, the state of the media is not a healthy one in this country, and I always thought that you two did your part to give us some healthy medicine, so I appreciate what you've done.
Well, thank you.
Joe said it earlier that the reason when we came on back in 2003, There was no anti-war voice. There was no liberal voice on radio.
Right.
And he felt strongly there should be.
And he supported us 100%, and we really appreciate him
for that. He fought liberals and he fought conservatives.
Yeah, and
to keep us on
air. I'm honored to be part of the final LA Steel show.
We're grateful to have you. And we just want to thank you. I want to thank Ashley and want to thank you especially because you've done all the work here. You've been on every for every interview.
Yeah, well, and we have been like I said, Sal Luciano, our executive director, has never hesitated to support you guys when I've asked them to do that. And like I say, this is bittersweet because we need more people like you. But it's good to hear you're continuing in other avenues. I'm hoping the Triple Q is a voice of reason now that it's becoming part of the public radio network. But we need to stay in touch, and we need to.
We will be in touch, Larry, because I want to have you on the show.
Good.
We're every Tuesday night, you're a fixture there. The union ways. Yeah, you got to talk about the union and talk about everything. I mean, that's
and it's really important that we keep alive the fact that public employees are being persecuted at this time, and the finger of guilt is being pointed at them when really it's the bankers and the corporations that have economically put this country in jeopardy, and people need to be reminded of that.
I know you've been doing that, so that's greatly appreciated on my end.
Well,
you keep fighting there, guy, and we'll be behind you every way we can, and we want to have you on.
We want to continue with your voice, so we'll be in touch.
We will definitely
touch then.
Okay, guys.
Thanks for talking.
Thanks
for having me, guys. Take
care. Okay. Good night, Larry.
Good night, Larry.
That was Larry Dorman from the AFSCME union, and he'll continue to be, hopefully, a voice with us on the LA Steel.
Yeah, council4.org is his
website,
mm-hmm.
and they do a great job down there. Mm-hmm. Now, you can go banter back and forth here for a minute, because I'm going to get dear Eileen on the
line. Oh, Eileen, the publicist from Hollywood, California, from the hills. Yeah, Eileen's great. She's sent us a lot of good guests. She's a wonderful person. We did get a chance to meet her in New York City once.
Did you?
Yeah, we actually did. We went down for a 911 convention.
Mm-hmm.
About 4 or 5 years ago, and she was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. It was great to meet her. Usually you don't get a chance to meet these people.
You talk to them over the phone.
And
I talked to a number of publicists, you know, some of the authors we've had in the morning.
Yep.
Everything. We've gotten through various groups and everything. Never met any of them, but they call me up and, you know, offered me this and offered me that.
Right. You get to talk to people on the phone regularly, and you really get to know them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they become friends, but you never really meet them in person.
Exactly. And every once in a while you have the opportunity to do that, and that's great.
Yeah,
it always puts a different perspective on things to see somebody up close and personal.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Well, you've been at this radio business a long time, Joe.
Yeah, a few years.
Mm-hmm.
A few. But, yeah, I've done it for a while, and still enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a great business. It's funny. I never really thought of myself as a person who would be on radio.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what propelled me was that I got so mad. I was so mad at the way the direction of the country, and I think I was killing all my friends with my conversation and anger. And I said, "Well, I'm going to share that with the world.
Well,
I'm really going to do something about it."
My feeling is that all voices should be heard, and that people can make up their own minds after they hear them all. But if you only hear one side of a story, how do you make up your mind except to go in that direction? It's like I was talking about the
mm-hmm.
propaganda machine. So it's important to have different perspectives.
And I agree with you 100%, and
you know,
I think that's honoring the intelligence of the listeners.
Allow them to make up their mind.
Whereas you see very, very often on the mainstream media, unfortunately, they keep repeating the same thing over and over again with such force that people just accept it. They don't even really process it. They just kind of accept it.
You do after a while. It is, you know, if you hear the same thing over and over again,
mm-hmm.
why should you believe that it's not true?
That's right.
You know, and basically you have to kind of have different perspectives on things and different sides of the coin, and
mm-hmm.
then you intelligently make up your mind. People can do that. It's not, you don't have to lead them by the nose.
No. And I think that shows that you have respect for people.
I try to have respect for people. I mean, you know, we fashion this radio station to, you know, help where help is needed, to bring different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously we're, you know, mainly a music station, but we do things. I mean, we have interviews every morning, or
right.
you know, this show on Tuesday night.
And I know at one point you had a health show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a pretty good show, mm-hmm. and that has some interesting things.
Yeah, we've had from time to time different shows of different interests.
That people have started.
That was the whole idea about the radio station, to keep people informed and keep people entertained, and to bring different perspectives to the microphone so that they could, like I said, make up their minds without us making up their minds for them.
Well, I think that's a great thing. And what happened there, Leo?
She hasn't picked up, so I don't know.
Well, we'll just move on to the next one.
Yeah, you can always
go
to the bottom of the list.
She has to go back to the bottom.
Well, she's 3 hours behind us. She's in California, so it's kind of like she's
down. You know, we interview Dean Koontz sometimes as an author.
And we
interview him between 8 and 8:30, and he's always live. So it's between 5 and 5:30 out there.
You remember when we did David Icke?
Yes.
He
had to get up in the middle of the night for a guy from England.
In England.
Yeah.
Yes.
2 o'clock in the morning. But he was so pissed because what happened was, I get this email at the house. You know, it was like
just before we left or afterwards.
No, it was like on Monday.
Oh.
Right? And he's seething, what the hell, I woke up with it. You know, it was like 8 o'clock, I was just checking my email. It was about 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And he said, you know, it's good. And it was Monday, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the guy was up at like 2 in the morning waiting for me to call him on Monday. And I told him, and I sent back to him, I said, show's Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I said, sorry. And he goes, after this long, you know,
tirade,
he goes, oh, sorry. Please call me tomorrow night. That was a while back. A long time ago.
And then we had Cass Ingram picking berries up in Canada. Remember trying
oh,
to get
geez,
we, that was the oh, funniest man. Thing.
We wound up getting some moose lodge or something up in Bodunk, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh yeah, he's there.
He's just coming in from picking berries.
He only had like three rooms up there, and he had he had to take the call and.
It's the beauty of live radio too. You never know what to expect, and you can get anything from time to time. I mean, we've had some of those situations.
You too.
When we've interviewed people in the morning and things like that, or people kind of, I mean, one of the things that they do, and they set up some of these interviews with me, and then we go overtime because we get so.
You get into it, yes.
And the woman will come on the phone and says, the interview's up, he should be somewhere else.
That happens. I got Keith Harmon Snow coming up here in a minute, so I'm going to try him.
See if he's by his phone.
See if he's by his phone.
Now, Keith Harmon Snow was actually our very first guest.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I also read about it.
Which is really funny because Leo was the first one at the station, and he didn't know how to operate the board at the time, and Joe said, oh, I'll work with you with that. And Keith was coming down from Springfield or someplace, and Joe wasn't here, and Keith wasn't here, and it was about 10 minutes of, and Leo is panicking. And Joe walks across from the restaurant across the way and says, don't worry, everything's going to be fine.
You know, in this business you learn 1 minute beforehand is almost a week. You know, and things happen in such rapid succession that you don't think about that. You know, when somebody's nervous and things like that, and it's the first one, the first show, for example, he's going to be here because he's all hyped up, you know.
Right,
he's gonna be
he was
way
anxious.
Ahead of time.
Okay. Hey, Keith, how are you?
Hey, there's Keith. Good, we're just fine. We were talking about Joe Levero, our station manager, is here, and I had just reminded him that you were our first guest, and Leo was panicky, he told me, because he was here early, and neither you nor Joe were waiting for him, and he thought he was going to have to go on the air by himself. He was scared to death.
I did get here before Keith did, though.
Yeah,
yes.
Now, it's in the first chapter of the book, so how that happened. But we've been following you, Keith, for how long now? 10 years, probably.
Been a while.
We met at the Voice News, I think.
At the Voice News, which folded.
Yeah.
And I can remember reading some of your articles on chemtrails. Yeah, that's where that was first brought to my attention. And I really appreciated the research that you've done. And you also have kept us up to date on what's happened in Africa and other places
everywhere
in the world. And we really appreciate all the research you've done.
Yeah. So what are you up to nowadays?
Well, I'm involved in working a lot of work, study, research, and producing journalism work on the subject of genocide and how there's a politics of genocide and how the powers that be use the subject of genocide or the threat of genocide or the accusation of genocide. And the punishment of genocide as a tool or another weapon in the imperial war against peoples everywhere. So I'm looking deeply at the nature of the general genocide formulation that was developed in 1936-45 through a book called The Man Who Invented Genocide, which is a fascinating read.
Really?
Studying Ed Herman's book on the politics of genocide that's just come out recently, which was inspired, in fact, by the work that I've done on Rwanda.
Mm.
And that is to show that the whole genocide in Rwanda subject is, as we know it, is upside down and backwards. And what really happened is that the United States invaded and overthrew the government. And now there's a very strong movement up front to, expose the nature of the politics of genocide on Rwanda. And contrary to that, all of these academics who've published on genocide in Rwanda for years are calling me a genocide denier and a few other people genocide deniers, and it's getting a lot of press and a lot of leverage in terms of what's going on in Rwanda, Congo, Sudan, for example.
But there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people in this country that are believe in government genocide. You know, government sponsored genocide. And it's like what's going on in Palestine. What's going on in all over the country. You know, in Africa and wherever these people are.
We have our own here on Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, and
there,
continue to perpetuate the genocide that's been served on the Native Americans.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and I remember when we talked a little while ago, or actually it was an email that you had sent, and you mentioned you might want to talk a little bit about the censorship, and that's been going on, the rampant censorship of I know that you've been censored, but voices like ours and voices like yours. And what's going on worldwide, if not necessarily, definitely nationally.
It couldn't be worse, Leo. As you know, there's censorship, and people don't want to hear what other people have to say. That's freedom of speech, is not allowing someone to say what you want to believe, what you believe. It's listening to someone or being able to hear someone who's not going to say what you believe. That's what freedom of speech is.
Right.
Freedom of speech for everyone. So anyway, there's a lack of freedom country, as we know, and some of the most important things that need to be talked about are not being talked about, but covered up by the Daily News, and the Times, of course, is one of the biggest perpetrators. National Geographic, big perpetrator of propaganda, perpetuating these myths about Africa or Afghanistan or wherever.
Right.
I mean, one of the biggest stories I've been dealing with recently is the subject of sharks disappearing, and 100, 400, something like that, 100 million sharks a year are killed.
Wow.
For shark fins, long lining, which is stripping the oceans of the fish, and it's a completely irresponsible way of doing it. And the sharks are incredibly important to our ecosystem. Not like they're much more important than dolphins and whales, but we don't care about them because we've been convinced that, for example, sharks don't eat people.
Yeah.
That's one of the myths that we've been convinced. And anyway, there's a movie called Sharkwater that's very good that people could see. It's called Sharkwater. And it just gives you an idea of how deluded we are about some of the truths of this world, some of the truths about nature, for example.
Hmm.
Of course, there's many other things that are serious cover-ups or serious whiteouts in the press, such as the war in the Congo involving the Bush and Clinton families and all these other powerful individuals, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you brought it all up, and...
Are you having difficulty getting published, Keith?
I think it's never been worse. And
really?
Getting support, donations, has never been worse for me.
Wow.
Because as I've gotten older and more mature, I've been able to say things in a clearer way. My writing's gotten clearer, and I'm pinpointing the roots of, you know, the problems. And when you really hit the nail on the head, it comes down to whiteness, white supremacy, racism, genocide, and this is not what people want to hear about or talk about for the most part.
No, it's like a dirty little secret, isn't it?
So how have you managed? I've always admired how you've managed to keep your head, keep yourself going and keep your head up there with the kind of work that you've done, the kind of writing you've done, and the kind of oppression that you've seen and experienced yourself in your own career. I've always admired you, Keith, for your tenacity. You know,
thank you, Leo. I don't quite know either. I do what I have to do sometimes, which means, you know, taking odd jobs. I get donations here and there from some wonderful people that faithfully support me. It doesn't add up to much, but it adds up to something. And I sell a story now and then, a travel story, but. You know, but I basically live under the poverty line, and when you live under the poverty line, you don't have a car, you don't have insurance, you don't have to pay those bills, don't have a family, don't own a house, that kind of thing. So it has its trade-offs. It can be hard, but
that's basically
how I do it.
Well, you have you started up your organic farm there, didn't you? You still have that going?
I've given that up now because the neighborhood is overrun by gun fanatics. There's a weapons range on the property abutting me.
Oh, God.
Wow.
The shooting there involved three military companies, and they've harassed me, and they've harassed other neighbors.
Hmm.
And you can go to a website and see this. For example, if you type in a Google search on these three words, Irish, Hodgkin's, H-O-D-K-I-N-S, like Hodgkin's lymphoma, Hodgkin's, Irish, and Highlander, those three words. Because there's two private military companies called Highlander Arms and Irish Arms, and the people that own the land are Hodgkin's. That's their name.
Wow.
So, or you could just search on Irish, Williamsburg, and Highlander, and you'd get these videos that show this child on the range with all these guys with machine guns shooting at that very moment, and the child is shooting a .22, and you can see this live for yourself. People have to go and look at it.
It was like that kid that
we just had a child that was killed in Springfield.
He was shooting an Uzi at a gun show.
This kid's 3 years old, and you would think that people would take it seriously given that recent shooting at Westfield.
That was horrible.
Yeah.
So how has this affected your organic farm?
Just search on Williamsburg and Irish Arms, and they'll find these YouTube videos I've made. There's six on there that somebody made, and I've made the links to them and on my Facebook page, for example. So.
Mm-hmm. So why did you close your farm? Were they threatening you? Is that what you said?
They've been harassing me, and I just don't want to live here anymore.
Oh dear.
The neighbors on several sides of us are hostile, and we had a big hearing about this last night that it's taken over 2 years to organize and get to, and a bunch of the neighbors stood up in favor of the shooting and the weapons and lied, and I just don't want to live in this ugly little town.
Oh, that's very sad.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want a gun placed next to me either. That would be very scary.
Well, you got to listen to those videos, see how loud they are. It's just unbelievable. You can't even work in the garden without getting all stressed out. And my dad can't do it. My mom's suffering. There's other landowners. We got over 65 signatures and 40 letters went into the town last night at this hearing, but it still looks like the town may do what it wants.
That's very sad. And your parents have lived there for a long time.
NRA.
Yeah.
What's that? They're all NRA, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the guys that shoot there are former Blackwater. Do you know who they are?
Oh,
yes,
God,
the security company.
And they formed their own private security companies, one of them, and gun companies. One is Irish Arms, one is Highlander Security Consulting. And they go off to Afghanistan and Iraq and kill people, and then they come back here and blow off their guns and sell them on the land, and then they go off to kill people, then they come back and blow off their guns. And I just can't live in this town anymore.
Yeah,
I don't blame you.
So where are you headed?
I don't know. First, I'll have to work with my family to try to figure out what we're going to do with our property.
Yeah.
Now, your parents have lived there for quite a while, haven't they?
My family built the house that my mom lives in, which is right next to me, in 1832.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And people say that we shouldn't have moved in next to a pig farm and then start complaining about the stakes. We were here long before the shooting range. And people have the most irrational, stupid ideas when they try to defend something that's indefensible.
Really, I totally agree with you. Well,
yeah.
Keith, I know you didn't want to be on too long here with us tonight, but we sure appreciate it, you coming on.
Thank you so much, and I'm really sorry your show is leaving, and I'm sure that you'll find some wonderful other things to do.
Well, I wanted to tell you, we've been on the Internet. We've had an Internet show for the last 4 years, and, on Block Talk Radio, and we're going to do a two-hour format. We've been doing an hour format three nights a week there, but now we're going to take this program, do a two-hour format, and continue the hour format through the rest of the week. But we'll welcome you on. We'd love to have you on again anytime.
I love your work, and I love your appreciation. Thank you so much.
Well, Keith, we wish you all the best, and we will be in touch. I've got you on my Facebook. And and we got you. And keep the cards and letters coming, will you?
Thanks so much.
And we support you. Take on.
All right.
Okay, Keith. Thank you very much.
Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye. That was Keith Harmon Snow. Keith has done excellent work throughout his life. Research on Africa, on genocide. I mean, he's just amazing. He bicycled through Africa. I don't know of anybody who could bicycle through Africa, but Keith did it.
And in Mongolia.
And he was in Mongolia.
China,
I mean, he's
China,
done sure. all kinds of things.
Remarkable.
It sounds like, though, he's going through...
Yeah, he's going through some...
He's going through a bad patch right now. So it sounds.
Oh man! You imagine being, you know, having your
living next to a
Blackwater, you know, bunch of ass, you know, clowns. Yeah, it must be scary to death.
Oh, unbelievable!
Bang, 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 all the time.
But before you forget, Leo, you should play our Ask Me ad.
Oh God!
Which you didn't do.
Yeah, I meant to do that. Yeah.
I kept encouraging Leo to play it at the beginning of the show, and then
I
forgot.
I was
going to
play it when Larry was up, and I forgot all about it.
So we should have our Ask Me ad on.
Yes,
so we'll just take a little break with that.
Yeah, it's going to come up in a minute, though, unfortunately.
Should be up in just a second.
Yeah, a little longer than that. All right, but it will come. All right, and
while we're waiting for that, I could mention the 3-point plan to save public unions in advance of that ad.
Because I wanted to. I was going to call George.
I just want to say something. Yeah. Eileen just called.
Oh, she did.
She says she can't do the interview with. She's offset. She's stuck in traffic. There's too much noise.
That's Eileen.
So we'll call her later.
We'll talk to her later.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eileen can't be on. She's stuck in California traffic. She's probably trying to get home.
Got it. And she must have her. Whatever. That's okay. We'll contact her later.
We'll talk to her
later. But let's see. I wanted to. We got George Dixon coming up in just a few minutes, and I got Maria Fix-Algeri going up right after that.
Okay.
Yeah, we got Peter, and we got Woody in the ring.
With his regular segment.
His Super Bowl locks for the Super Bowl, and we've got, Gail Corey Thompson, and we've got a little musical tribute to a couple of buddies that passed away. Especially, we wanted to mention, and in fact, when I talk with George and Maria, we'll mention Bill. Bill Marshall used to be the our astrologer, cosmobiologist here in the early first few years we did the show, and he passed away in 2007.
Yeah,
that was a great loss. He was a good friend and good guy.
Yeah, we still feel that loss.
Yeah, and we wanted to bring in a spirit here tonight too. So it was the last show, and let's see. And then at 9:30, we've got a special call to Jan and John. Well, John's working tonight, but Jan Bonaiuto is one of them. Been a long time listeners
and friends and supporters. Great folks.
And we're going to talk with them for a few minutes, and then we got John Brennan is going to finish up the segment tonight, and Johnny will be joining us as well on our new Tuesday night format on blogtalkradio.com/LASteelShow.org. Yes, sir, and he's going to be doing his segment.
Or you can just go to the LASteelShow.org and
website
and look at the top of the page and click Listen Live.
There you go. And I'm going to, let me call.
Do you have our ad?
You know, let me put on the ad.
The ad's come right up, so Leo's going to put that on.
Here
it goes.
Proud to serve you. They keep our streets and parks clean.
They make our schools a great place to learn.
They keep violent felons out of our community.
They even help our children get to school safe and on time.
They are the 35,000 public service employees represented by Council 4.
These employees are dedicated and efficient.
They are accountable to Connecticut taxpayers. That means they don't work for privatized agencies that may hire substandard non-union workers.
Companies like these are constantly in the headlines with their corruption scandals, which cost taxpayers millions.
That's why it's important to keep public services in public hands with people who work hard around Connecticut and around the clock.
On the state and the local level.
Public service employees are proud to serve you every single day.
Find out more at council4.org. Council 4, AFSCME, a union for all. This ad is brought to you by the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. This union is affiliated with the AFL-CIO. Whoops.
Okay.
Whoops, and, went a little over on that, and Leo's going to make another call.
Yeah, well, actually, what I wanted to mention, I wanted to say thanks again so much to ask me for supporting us over the years.
Yeah. They've been great supporters.
Yeah, and I wanted to, and we got George Dixon coming up next, so I'm going to call him, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, well, I'm right here.
Tell the people about George.
Oh, George Dixon is a dear friend. first of all, and he does a lot of research on esoteric matters, and he's been on our show a number of times, and he's a regular on our internet show every Friday night on Blog Talk Radio, which you can get to by going to blogtalkradio.com/LASteelShow.org. Or you can go to our website, lasteelshow.org, and click Listen Live at the top of the page, and you can listen to our Friday night shows that we've had with George, and we'll be continuing those. So, hi, George. You with us?
Hello, Leo.
Hey, George.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine here. Now I can hear you.
Oh, can you hear us okay?
Okay.
I can.
Oh, good. Thanks for being with us tonight, and so that we could all say goodbye to Q103.3. You've been down here a number of times with us. I know you were planning to come down if the weather was good, but it's nice to hear you over the phone.
Well, I would have loved to have come there being your last night, but no, the weather in the East Coast, we got a big storm that's coming in.
Yeah, I guess
2,000 miles of it. Did you read that, George? 2,000 miles. This storm is 2,000 miles long. All right? It goes all the way to Texas, all from Texas to Maine.
Amazing.
Yeah. So anyway.
It's character. That's all I can say. And it's going to last for a few days.
Yeah, well
we just have
I've been listening to the show, and, you know, years have traveled and passed so quickly that it seems like only yesterday. And you mentioned Bill Marshall as one example, but Bill and I go back years ago at old-time radio back in Long Island, New York, where, both of us were very much involved with the media there.
I remember Billy was the house astrologer there or something on the Joel Martin show, and you were the, I don't know, what were you, George? You were the research esoteric guy or something.
That's right. My research deals with the...
Pretty much what you were on the LA show.
I studied a field of different subjects and topics, including my main course, metaphysics.
Yeah.
George, for those of you who don't know, George does our Friday night with George Dixon every Friday night on our blogtalkradio.com /LASteelShow.org. Show every week and
every other
Friday, and he's been a major a lot of people like what George has to say. We get into a lot of great discussions, and you know,
mm-hmm.
we've been going for 4 years on that show, buddy.
I have to thank you folks because you've given me opportunity to look at the Mayan calendar and for us all to follow the way the Mayans would follow it. You know,
mm-hmm.
Look into the eyes of the Mayan understanding.
Oh, we've been discussing
talking
that.
About the end of times, the end of the world, and yada, yada, yada is a bunch of crack.
No, but we've been bringing up the 2012 prophecies, of course, the Mayan calendar, the timelines, and trying to talk about ascension consciousness and what's going on in the cosmic realm.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to understand the Merkaba and sacred geometries. And
that's one thing I got to work on more, sacred geometry.
But but George has been a teacher of ours for quite some time now, and we've appreciated it. And we've had so many comments from different people that have listened to that show, and really, really, really enjoyed it. So we're inviting all of our Q103 listeners, who hasn't heard it yet, to please join us on our blogtalkradio.com/LASteelShow.org.
Or go to lasteelshow.org, click Listen Live at the top of the page. That's the website.
That's our website. Yeah. And if you go to Listen Live, what happens if you click that Listen Live button, what happens if it brings you right into our show page at Blog Talk Radio, and you'll see Lila and my picture, and you'll see the all of the shows that we have, and all of the archives are there.
And you'll be able to pick out Friday Night with George.
Yeah,
that's
every day. That's right. And there's over 500 programs in those archives. So please go back there and enjoy yourself. But George, George is going to be on this Friday, by the way. And what are we going to talk about this Friday, George?
Well, we're going to continue talking about the Mayan Seventh Day.
All right.
And the changes that we're going through, not only, you know, from a world point of view, but also from a personal view.
Right. And that's
And, you know, I have to thank you and Lila because you've been giving me the opportunity to look at life from, let's say, a Western perspective than an Eastern perspective. And, you know, in this 4 years' time that we focused on the Mayans, it's like I've gone through a 12-year initiation in a matter of 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's using the basic knowledge that I picked up in the East where I was able to understand it from a Western point of view. And also, you know, we can go back to when the sun stopped in the sky for 24 hours and stayed in Egypt, right? And yet on the other side of the world, the Mayans talk about the time the sun went black for 24 hours. So it's looking at both perspectives, but both experiences, but through different eyes. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to do that. And I think we've been talking about the times that we're going through, and including, you know, Leo's show coming to an end, I think, because, you know, it was just things that are meant to be because of the times we're going through. Our goals are changing, and, you know, before the new can come in, you have a crisis, and this is a very mild crisis by saying goodbye, but the next breath, we're saying hello, we're still here, we're on a different channel, folks.
That's right.
Another wave.
Bless you.
Another wavelength, but
our voice is not going to be silenced. I see it as being heard by more people.
Yeah, and what's great, if somebody's missed this show, you know. Oh, by the way, this show will be repeated in its entirety tomorrow on blogtalkradio.com/EliseThrushow.org. We will be this entire program tonight will be repeated tomorrow night for those of you who might have picked it up for later or missed it. And that's the wonders of the internet program, because they can be archived. You can listen to these shows
at
your convenience, anytime. You can download them. You can put them on your iPods. You can, you know, anything, and you know, and enjoy them, download them, keep them for whenever. Because a lot of the programs that we do with George, even myself, I got to go back through them two and three times sometimes if I have the time to try to grasp the information that we've put out there. And I know that based on our archives for those shows, we get thousands of listeners coming in to those programs. So, George, you've been we love having you. You've been a good buddy and great buddy. And, you know, I hope everybody joins us on that Friday night. And, you know, I don't know what else to tell you. Thanks for being on our last show here.
Well, I appreciate, again, you folks having me, and you know, all the best, you know, in your new endeavor, and, you know, Godspeed and God's grace, my friends.
Well, you're going to be a part of it there, buddy, so, yeah, hang in there, and we'll see you, we'll talk to you on Friday.
We'll be talking to you on Friday.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, George.
Good night, George.
I'll be with you.
All right.
And you too. That was George Dixon talking to us about a little bit about Blog Talk Radio, about the show that we have on Friday nights, and he's been on this show too a number of times. That's how we first met him, really.
Yeah, and our next guest, is none other than Maria Fix-Algeri, and she's going to be on in 1 minute, as soon as I call her.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't know who she is, she has been on a number of times on our show, and of course a number of times many times on our internet program. And she's a psychic.
And a close personal friend.
And a very, very, very good friend. And she and George, she and George are best of buddies.
And it was sort of like she and George and Bill were very good friends, and they had met in radio.
And Bill introduced us, Lila and I, to Maria and George. And, you know, they've been good friends ever since. And love to... So I'm going to go to the radio. I'm going to
to the telephone and see if he can get a hold of George, to get a hold of Maria, excuse me. Hopefully he'll be able to get in touch with her. In the meantime, I just wanted to mention, I got this interesting article, a three-point plan to save public unions. The best defense is a good offense. And I think that's great. That's what I was talking to Larry a little bit about. Public employees are preparing a comprehensive counterattack in Wisconsin. And this is what they're going to do. Number one, first, public employee unions are going to stress their commitment to the public interest. And I think that's important. I'll finish that article next time. And Maria is with us. Hey, Maria.
Hello, Lina. Hello, Leo.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I was listening to some of the shows on the archives in the past few days and talking about transmutation and birthing into new spirituality, and I believe what's occurring now is that branching out into new arenas. You know, you go through the labor of love of the work or the self that you are, and you've shared so graciously the airwaves with so many thoughts and what's real and unreal in people's minds. And I just want to say it's been a pleasure and really a great gratitude for your show that I had the opportunity to share these teachings and knowledge and friendship. Basically, most of all.
Well, you still will be as well on our internet program, and people have been you've been on that quite often, and I hope you'll continue to be quite often.
But you see, when one door is closing in a particular arena, and the reason is for a financial attribute for certain individuals, the true treasure is that you have the airwaves and these tributaries that allow things to grow and multiply.
Yeah, we feel very lucky that we have another outlet, and we were thinking a little bit about it. blogtalkradio.com/LASteelShow.org, which is where we'll be and have been for 4 years, we're going to put a little more effort into that. And on Tuesday nights, we're going to have a two-hour show, very similar to the show that we've had on Q103, and we'll continue our voice there. And actually, our voice on the Internet will probably go a little bit further than it
I think so, because the amount of advertising that they do, they're tremendous. They're putting in over 5,000 plugs for us per month, and our week or month, I'm not sure, but they're just, it's a tremendous marketing.
It's a great opportunity, I think.
For us, and we've been, I mean, we got, because of that, everybody who's been on our program has been, are there for, like, the one thing with this program is that unless it's recorded by me, it doesn't get, you know, it goes out once and it's never heard again, you know. But the beauty of the internet programs is that it goes out the first time and then it's recorded and stays in the archives where people can access them, you know,
at
anytime
their leisure
for the rest of, you know, to forever.
Well, here we have history in the making.
That's right. Like this particular show we're doing tonight, I'm recording, and I will be replaying the entire show tomorrow night on the Block Talk Show, and you know, in its entirety for 2 hours. Just so that people, just so there's record of the very last L.A. Steel show on Q103, you know.
What are people going to do without George on Friday night?
Well, George is going to be on Friday night.
Oh, it's still going to be. Okay, I thought that was...
No, we've got a two-hour Tuesday night show, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Okay.
So George will still be there, and you will still be there. And you often come on the Thursday night shows or Friday night shows.
And it's, you know, I just see it multiplying. For lack of a better word, when I use the word multiply, it's harvesting in my mind's eye. Rather than one tree, you have an orchard now and several different types of fruit, perhaps not just apples. You know, you can have pears and apricots and any kind of fruit you want. And I'm not limiting it to fruit. We can have a flower garden as well. What I'm getting at is the root of your show the tributaries that are coming around and about have reached many, many different levels of self or consciousness or beyond different dimensions, from political arenas to the arenas of the spiritual self and awareness, and putting light as you know it to be and sharing it with humanity is the greatest treasure that people can have. And the airwaves that you use to allow yourself to be you and Lila to be Lila and allow the guest to speak as they choose is such an honor, because many, as you spoke on some of the shows, nobody listens to mainstream news and things of this nature, that it's almost, I wanted to say almost shadow government, but that doesn't really fit it well. It's the shadow self that disappears and the real self that shows. So I still have great appreciation for our friendship and the ability to speak.
Oh.
Well, we very, very much appreciate yours, and we look so forward to having you continue to be a part of our life on Blog Talk Radio.
And the friendship as well is even greater than that, but to share it on Blog Talk is wonderful.
Oh.
Yes.
I was listening to some of the work that I think it was Dave who called in. He was talking about the keys of Enoch. Some of the information is not...
Oh, that was last week. Yeah, that was the one with last Friday.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it?
Yes, I know much of that work. I did a lot of study on Enoch, and you'll only find a couple of verses, let's say, in the Christian Bible about him. But if you go into the...
The Book of Enoch, that gives you quite a bit more.
Went to the Gnostic readings. Enoch himself spoke in the first person. It was translated from Latin to Greek to English. And he talks of being pulled up from this planet to the highest of the highest and met the great teachers and knowers, from astrology to numerology to builders. And it was said in his own first person that he heard this vehicle come down from the heavens, like a UFO, I guess you could say, almost like Ezekiel in a way. And he said that he was brought up, and for 300 years, he was taught by the highest of the highest and the knowers of the knowers to help humanity and to come back to the planet and teach how to build structures that would last for thousands of years, such as the pyramids and the Sphinx and perhaps even systems that we're not even aware of yet. So when we speak of the keys of Enoch, there's 7 hierarch types, not 8. But at any rate, the work is... been translated in many, many different
Maria,
styles and forms.
Maria, I have to insist that you come on either on this Thursday or next Thursday as soon as you can on our show and continue this discussion, because this is fascinating.
I would love to follow through on that. I've done some great study and work on Enoch.
That would be very, very interesting, I think.
I've read the Book of Enoch, the books of Enoch.
Three of those have been translated to the person's ideas, but I can trace it back to his original speaking in the first person of what he heard and what he saw. But yes, we can continue this on a...
Are you available on Thursday night?
This Thursday,
yeah.
I will attempt. I'm going to tell you why I'm getting some injections in my back Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Oh. So perhaps the following Thursday.
That would be fine.
I don't know what condition I'm going to be in.
That would be fine.
The following Thursday would be great.
I would lock that in.
Okay.
So this way I can rest, because sometimes it gets irritated. It's a maintenance shot, but it's fine.
That's okay. Well, you let me know. Let me know tomorrow how you feel, or Thursday, and we'll you can come on.
Okay, I shall do that, and I'm sure you have plenty of guests that you're going to be speaking with this evening, huh?
Yes, we are.
So we want to say thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
And I'll continue on that, Enoch, and
okay.
Blessings to those who cross your path, as always.
Okay.
Thank you, Maria.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night. That was Maria Fix-Algeri, and if you want a psychic reading, I'll tell you.
Outstanding.
And you can go to, just email her at nyfix@optonline.com. Check that out. And we're going to go
to In the Ring with Woody.
Hang on 1 second here. Bing, bing, bing. You're so busy tonight.
All right, step into the ring with Woody.
Thank you so much, Lila, for what is your introduction on the Wild 3 series main. Good evening, sports fans. Watch your heads on the ropes as you step into the ring for the final time with Woody on Q103.3. Tonight's topics, Los Mets, a little football news, Roethlisberger role model, and, of course, my stone-cold lock of a Super Bowl prediction. Before I get started, though, I would like to say that having a segment on your show has been a great pleasure to me, and I hope was met with some enjoyment by the listeners. As you have stated, the party may be over here on 103.3, but we will begin anew on Tuesday nights on the Internet, where you guys already are a few days out of the week. I certainly look forward to that because now the restraints of terrestrial radio are off. So next Tuesday, the gloves will come off on some of my opinions and also on a great deal of my language. Okay, let's get started. Newly appointed Mets GM Sandy Alderson insisted that with the Wilpons' messy entanglement with Bernie Madoff would have no impact on how he does his job going forward. But the Mets general manager added the Mets plan to lower payroll in the future. Alderson said, our payroll going into the season will be somewhere between $140 million and $150 million, said this during a conference call yesterday. I think that is significantly higher than we'd like to be on an annual basis as a product of adding some additional players that we felt the roster needed, as well as some existing contracts. The plan, the approach that I have taken over the last 2 months has not been affected at all by any other outside factors. To me, I find that highly unbelievable. The Mets thought they had problems with attendance last year. Their stadium's going to be a ghost town this year. They haven't made any new major acquisitions. It just doesn't look good going on. At this point, is there a specific number? Olson was asked. He said no. Whether that means we drop back in the future years to some extent, I don't know. But we'll continue to expend money at a very high level, and I think be among the highest payrolls in baseball. Probably not true. Commissioner Bud Selig is expected to meet with the Wilpons to discuss their financial situation. The Wilpons are planning to meet with Martin Luther King's group later in this week about their interest in purchasing part of the team. But according to Alderson, his plan for the roster and how many dollars the team decides to spend in 2012 and beyond will not be dictated by last week's news that the Wilpons are looking to sell a share of their franchise. I want to emphasize that the plan we had pursued with the last couple of months was limited by only one fact, and that was the level of existing payroll, Olson said. Olson said he knew to a degree how much the Wilpons' finances had been hurt by Madoff's Ponzi scheme when he was hired, but not the full extent. Still, he said he's not overly concerned with how he's going to do business going forward. When I interviewed and took this position, I was, of course, aware of the pre-existing involvement of the Wilpons and the Mets with Bernie Madoff. I wasn't privy to all the details, nor am I or most of us at this point privy to all that detail, and I wouldn't expect to be. Just as an outsider, personally, the Mets hiring of Alderson was, you know, kind of a savvy move, but them not going through and grabbing any big pieces, definitely a huge mistake. It's going to cost them at the box, you know, in the seats. It's definitely going to cost them. I think they're trying to counterbalance that with saying, okay, this guy has a plan, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, people just aren't going to buy that. I mean, they got a brand new stadium. You better put a good team out there. I just don't see that as doing it. Alderson again said, the short answer is it wasn't really discussed. I didn't raise it. I'm not surprised by this development just because the Madoff situation was a backdrop to the Mets and a well-known backdrop. My enthusiasm and energy for this position and my confidence in the Mets for the future of the Mets is undiminished. You are right to say some circumstances have changed. Would it I have changed my position? I don't think so. Just don't expect the Mets payroll to enter the same ballpark as the Yankees. No one expects that to happen, but you at least expect the Mets, you know, to field a team that's, you know, improved from over the last 3 seasons. I mean, they just tanked over the last couple of years, and their fans have to be just going absolutely bonkers. They can only put up with so much, and believe me, it's going to show this summer when, you know, there's a lot of empty seats.
And if you listen to some of the radio stations now and you want to the next websites, there are a lot of seats available, expensive and non-expensive. So, you know, they definitely got problems. I don't know. It's just really, really messed up. It's too bad they're not fans. Like I said, we certainly don't have that goal now. I don't know that I have to just find the differential, referring to the payroll parity with the Yankees. But I will say this. To the extent eventually that our product can outperform expectations and our attendance goes back to more traditional levels or higher levels, that gives us much more flexibility. I don't know. This guy's just throwing a lot of BS around, and I think the Mets are just heading in a total wrong direction. Thankfully, I'm a Yankee fan, and I really don't care, but it's just a pleasure to report on. Okay, a little bit of football news concerning the NFL labor talks, and this is definitely important stuff. As you may recall, it took baseball a long time to come back when the MLB went on strike. The NFL is doing so well right now that if, you know, if there is a strike, I shudder to think, you know, how much money is going to be lost, TV money and everything else. But anyway, trying to kickstart lagging labor talks as Super Bowl fast approaches, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and Union Executive Director DeMaurice Smith met yesterday in New York, and they drew up a schedule for a new negotiating session. So that's where they're just drawing up a schedule for a new negotiating session. So it's not really going all that well. Goodell and Smith spoke about a range of issues related to a new collective bargaining agreement, according to a joint statement released by the league and union. NFL spokesman Greg Aiello would not reveal details of those discussions. Goodell and Smith also met on January 19th in New York, where the league is also headquartered. Yesterday's session was described in a joint statement as part of a process to intensify negotiations. It said that Goodell and Smith agreed to hold a formal bargaining session and both negotiating teams on Saturday in the Dallas area. That's the day before the Super Bowl is played at Cowboys Stadium. They also agreed to a series of meetings over the next few weeks, both for formal bargaining sessions and a smaller group meeting in an effort to reach a new agreement by early March. Besides having had a full group formal negotiating session since November. The current CBA expires at the end of the day, March 3rd, and the union expects the NFL to lock out players as soon as the next day. The last NFL strike, I believe, was back in 84, 83 or something. It was 86 or 87. So it was definitely back away, and it didn't last for that long. The NFL has always been top-notch since then. I mean, when it comes to ratings, it doesn't seem like you put NFL on enough days of the week because it always kills in the ratings. I mean, you put it on a Tuesday night, you put it on a Wednesday night, you put it on a Thursday night, and, you know, when it comes to ratings, I mean, that's what, you know, that's what next networks are all about, ratings, money, yada, yada. Anyway, yesterday's session and the announcement of additional meetings would seem to indicate a sense of urgency by the sides to reach a deal. In an hour-and-a-half sit-down with reporters at league headquarters last week, a half a dozen NFL executives said they believe both sides could forfeit hundreds of millions of dollars if the new CBA isn't reached by the deadline. Among the key issues in negotiations are the league's push to extend the regular season from 16 to 18 games, rookie wage scale, benefits for retired players, and the owners wanting players to see $1 billion more of the gross revenue up front. Interesting stuff and a whole lot of money. Before the NFL season ended, if you look at the Tennessee Titans and you said, you know, who's going to be on, Vince Young or Jeff Fisher? Well, looks like both are gone. Jeff Fisher is already gone, and the Titans have decided to try and trade Vince Young rather than release him. Young is 30-17 in five NFL seasons, but only 13-14 against teams finishing better than .500. He's also battled questions about his work ethic, leadership, and injuries. He suffered a season-ending thumb injury on his right hand November 21st. Kind of like a baby, he tossed his shoulder pads into the stands and told off former coach Jeff Fisher in front of the team before storming out of the locker room. Young is due, I believe, $4.25 million roster bonus 10 days after the start of the league year, whenever there's a new collective bargaining agreement. Once the CBA is signed, Tennessee will have a 10-day window in which to trade Young in his contract that calls for $8.5 million in base salary during the 11th season. Also yesterday, the Titans started their search to replace Fisher by staying in-house for their first interview with Hall of Fame lineman Mike Munchak and the team's offensive lines coach. Offensive coordinator Mike Hermendinger
also was expected to interview. The Bengals finally made a move to improve their offense. They fired longtime offensive coordinator Bob Gronkowski. This is the first change in the coaching staff following a 4-12, an abysmal season where they were kind of loaded on offense and did absolutely nothing. Just the touchdowns were just way down, and they were just horrible in the red zone. It was just unbelievable. Bartowski had been the offensive coordinator since 2001, 2 years before Marvin Lewis took over as coach. They need to really do more than that. I mean, they need a real revamping, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Cincinnati's just kind of screwed up. They've been, known to be a financially cheap organization. So we'll just have to wait and see. All righty. Now, Ben Roethlisberger, who in my opinion is a future sex offender, at his first Super Bowl news conference Monday, Roethlisberger declined to reflect on matters surrounding his four-game suspension at the start of the season. He did address how he wants people to think of him. You know, of course, I can tell you how I think of him. According to Roethlisberger, he wants to be a role model. He wants people to look up at him. Quote unquote, "I like when teams wear my jersey and stuff," the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback said. He elaborated on that later, saying he meant more than being a role model as an NFL player. "Absolutely. There's a lot more to it than just that," he said. "You want to be a good person. You want to be someday." God, this is funny just talking about it because this guy is just such a scumbag. "Hopefully a good father, husband, whatever that entails, grandfather and all those things. I think there's a lot of people you can be role models to." Yeah. You can be a role model to a lot of people. Most of them are locked up. But Roethlisberger also was asked multiple questions about his thoughts on starting the season under suspension imposed by NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. The discipline followed an investigation into a sexual assault complaint filed against Roethlisberger last March by a college student. That's nice. Authorities in Georgia did not file criminal charges, but he was suspended by Goodell on an NFL's personal conduct policy. Roethlisberger was asked about comments made by Goodell in an interview with Sports Illustrated's Peter King. Goodell said that while he was weighing Roethlisberger's punishment, I quote, not a single player teammate went to his defense. Goodell said he spoke to about 24 Steelers. Roethlisberger said he knew for a fact that a lot of guys kind of did. Yeah, that's great. Kind of did. Support him in conversations with the commissioner when Goodell visited the team's training camp last summer. The suspension, initially 6 games, was later reduced to 4 by Goodell, was imposed April 21st. "So I'm just thankful that my teammates are who they are, and I'm really appreciative of that," Roethlisberger said. Steelers defensive end Brett Keisel said Monday, "I've always had Ben's back. I think everyone was behind Ben all along." Keisel, of course, is like one of Roethlisberger's boys, so of course he's going to say that. Keisel said he has changed. "I think he slowed down. He put on slippers and got a fire going," whatever the hell that means. Roethlisberger said he was enjoying just how awesome having an inner peace could be. He added religion had played a role in that. What a load of crap. "Getting back my faith, yes, faith and family." God, who coached this guy to say this stuff? It's just unbelievable. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin also was asked about Goodell's comments. "Ben is a highly effective member of our football team, not only because of what he's done this year, but just because of his large body of work," Tomlin said. "We all fall short of perfection. We all make mistakes. It's not well documented." And they certainly are, and there's going to be more to come. "He's doing the best that he can in terms of moving forward." Now, I never thought I would say this, but I actually like Roethlisberger more than I do that fag Tom Brady. So, I would love to see Roethlisberger win his third Super Bowl ring, and just because it would, you know, put him in the likes of Brady, and that's nice. He and Brady could be mentioned in the same sentence and just whatever, because I'm just sick of everyone kissing Tom Brady's ass. So it would be nice to have somebody like that's playing now be kind of on the same level, and it's great that he's a sex offender, or no, I'm sorry, future sex offender, my bad. How dare I? Anyway, moving on, a little more positive stuff. I would like to do my stone cold lock of a Super Bowl prediction. Now, many of you may or may not know the Green Bay Packers are favored by sometimes 3 points and sometimes 2, sometimes 2.5. Personally, I find that's a little bit laughable. I think the Steelers definitely are the better team. What's going to make the difference in this game is whether Rodgers can outduel the Pittsburgh defense. Most times you find that in the battle of quarterback versus defense, that quarterback loses. So I think the Pittsburgh Steelers
If you follow any of the video stuff, it was run like a thousand times or something, and the Steelers won like 53 or 54% of the time. So regardless of the running it through a video game, I would have picked the Steelers, and I'm definitely going to take the points. You can't go wrong there. To me, the Steelers are just bigger and meaner. They seem like really mean and just like, you know, like real big and tough football players. I'm not saying that Green Bay isn't. I'm just saying that the Steelers seem to be more so. If you look at the guys on defense, I mean, they just look like they're ready to rock and roll. And Pittsburgh's offense is definitely very good. Roethlisberger is tough. You know, as much as I don't like Roethlisberger, he's very tough to take down. You know, you need like more than one guy with one arm just like flying by to grab the guy. I mean, you really got to put your hands on him to bring him down. And he's very good under pressure. And let's not forget, this is his third Super Bowl. So he's been there before. He didn't play that great in his first Super Bowl. Played pretty damn good in his second one. So, I got a good feeling that he's going to play real good in his third one. Rodgers, you know, he is a good quarterback. You know, sometimes this game can, the big game can really jump up on you. And it's puts a lot of weight on your shoulders. It's going to put a lot of weight on his shoulders. And, you know, he's acting pretty loose right now, but come game time, I think it might be a little different story. And I think the same goes true for the rest of the Green Bay players. They haven't been there before, and it makes all the difference in the world, definitely when you're going up against a team that's been there. So I definitely like the Steelers. With the points, you can't go wrong. I think they'll probably win by seven points or more. So we'll see. So that is my final Stone Cold Lock. I would like to give a final shout-out to all my woodheads out there, Ron, Mark, Leo, Dino, Troy, Greg at AFS, everyone at the Northeast Athletic Club, including my partner, Money Mike. Congratulations on your engagement. Preston, my buddy John, staying at home, Carlos, Trina in Bristol, and Deb. And please listen up for my short sports report and quick draw segment with the Equinox with Ed Fox on Thursday at 9:30. So that's it for me. I will not be seeing you next week on the radio. I will be on the land of the internet. So please tune in next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Running my mouth, I was stumbling the sidewalk, I was striking a match, I was checking my day, with the key to the latch, didn't flinch or nod, cause my head is too thick, while I was looking at you, I got hit by a brick.
Alright, and
we thank Woody.
Now, we've still got three more people we're going to talk to, and we're going to end the show with John Brennan's segment coming up. But we get Gail Corey Tonsing and our dear friend Janet Boniuto, who is going to say a couple words to us tonight. And we're going to, we'll be right back. But right now, I got just a quick musical tribute.
Oh, what's your music tribute,
and,
Leo?
Song. I really love one that it's kind of it's a tribute to a couple of people that we lost over the years, friends of ours. One being Bill Marshall, who was our astrologer, and another good friend was our good buddy
Joe
Besaid.
Joe Besaid out in Lyme.
And
Connecticut.
Yeah, and a lot of other people, and kind of a tribute song to say goodbye to everybody, and please. Please don't forget to join us on blogtalkradio.com/LAStuShow.org on Tuesday nights, 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday nights.
Or right. Go to LAStuShow.org, our website. Click on Listen Live at the top of the page.
And you can check out all of our archives there. And this is just a little musical tribute, and we'll be right back. Hang on a second.
and my family, living on my friends. My body's at home, but my heart's in the wind. Clouds are like headlines on a new front page sky. Tears are salt water, and the moon's full and high.
But we'll be going on to the internet with a longer show.
One door closes, another one opens, huh?
That's right.
We've had that one for 4 years. We've been running it, and we got a very large audience, and we're very, very pleased with the reception we've been getting.
That's great.
And it's grown by leaps and bounds in the last year as well. I couldn't believe it. We've doubled our listeners. We're over 100,000 listeners. It's just tremendous.
Hi, dog.
Yeah, it's your dog.
So your voice will not be silenced, Gail. You're going to be on our show, I hope.
Oh, that's great.
And
look forward to it.
Yeah,
we'd be glad to have you. And you're the person who reminds us of the indigenous people's issues, because you have a lot of knowledge in that area.
And we appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's certainly a lot of indigenous issues happening, including the Palestinians, who, as mm-hmm. we know, the Palestinians mm-hmm. are the indigenous people of Palestine.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Historic Palestine, which includes the area known as Israel.
And I wanted to mention, I wanted to thank you so much personally for that wonderful book review that you did for Naked at the Mic.
That was my pleasure. That was so much fun.
That was wonderful. And it's still, you can still see it up on thecornerreport.com. And I just wanted to thank you for that.
My pleasure, as I said. Yeah, that was fine.
When we were thinking about the various people that we have on the show over time, and you were one that we've had many more times than one time, and I was thinking about all the different things that we've been involved in, and it's been a very exciting, I think, relationship politically and, of course, personally, too. So we really appreciate it.
Not only that, we have fun being activists.
We sure do.
And the two of you are activist shoppers as well.
Yes, we are. We are innovative in that venue of activism.
Yes. Helen and I have had many, many successful activist shopping trips. We attack everything with vim and vigor.
And revolutionary fervor.
Yes, including shopping.
We just wanted to briefly talk to you tonight, and thank you so much for being with us.
For sharing all the information that you have with us and with our audience.
And we want to have you on our new show very soon, and we'll let you know when you're available.
That's great. Thank you so much. I've been very honored to be part of this, and look forward to continuing on your new show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Gail.
You have a wonderful evening, and we will be talking soon.
Okay, great.
Right.
Okay,
good night.
Right. That was Gail Corey-Tonsing, and she does thecornerreport.com.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I know that John and Jan are listening right now. And Jan, I'm calling you this minute, and then, John, I'm going to have you on.
We're running
a little slow. If John is not listening, if you can just call him and let him know that I'll be talking to him in 5 minutes or so. Okay, but Jan, I know you're probably listening, and I'm going to call you right now.
Yeah. Jan and John Bonanuto have been friends of ours for quite a while, and they've been great supporters of the show.
Brennan, I know you're listening there, and your segment's coming
up there, but... It'll be up in a few minutes, Johnny, don't worry. We've known them for a long time, and we've been at different activist events with them. We've shared so many great times, and they've called into the show several times. John, her husband, is working tonight, but Janet's at home, so we're going to give her a call. I hope that Leo has the right number there. He's looking puzzled. He's giving me a very puzzled look. He's got it. He's clicking away there on the phone. So we look forward to talking to Janet. Sometimes, you know, when you're in a hurry to do something, that's when you don't dial correctly or you do something wrong. So you got him? Got her? It's ringing?
Hi.
Oh, good. There's Janet. She'll be with us. Hey, Janet.
Hi, Lila. How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you? I'm so glad that you consented to talk with us a little bit tonight. I know John couldn't be with you, but please send him our best.
I certainly will. We've been kind of bummed out ever since we heard the news that QQQ was going off the air or going to be changing its format and that you wouldn't be on. Probably for the last 6 years, we have really followed your program. We are sad whenever we had to miss it, and we're going to follow you on to Blog Talk Radio, definitely. But I do want to say thank you for everything that you've done to let people who government, what is going on with medicine and our whole society. I just want to, it's so important that people get their views out, that other things can be heard other than mainstream media news. So you guys have done such a great job, and we're going to miss you on QQQ. I really hope that that Joe and Marie and all the other gang on this radio station will be able to find a place, a good place for them too, because they've really done a great job on this station. So,
well, you know, I wanted to tell you.
Very best.
I wanted to tell you, on our Blog Talk show, blogtalkradio.com, we will be, we can now take up to 50 callers.
How about that?
About bizarre. But anyway, we expect you to call once in a while you're listening and join the conversation or ask questions, because we always love to hear from you.
Okay, we'll
right.
be doing that.
It's a very interactive program, that one, more so than the capabilities here.
We're gonna have to get into a different mode, kind of.
We're gonna stir you guys up, because I know you and Johnny like to get stirred up there.
We do, and we love the way you have always stirred us up for the show.
We want to thank you so much, and for all your support and all your and your friendship, and we just want to say, just thanks, and
we're glad you're going to stay with us, and we look forward to talking to you on Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely, stay well and stay warm, and we'll talk soon. Okay.
Thanks for all your kind words.
No problem.
All right.
Bye bye.
That was Jada Bonanuto talking to us. From her home, and maybe your husband John was listening at work. I don't know. He's at work. If you are, John, hey.
But you can listen to the archives.
Yeah, he sure can. He'll be able to hear it
tomorrow night.
And we're going to get John Brennan on the line. He's probably chomping at the bit a little bit. We're a little bit late to call him. But when you talk to so many people, you kind of get absorbed a little bit, and you're not really on top of the time. It's amazing how fast 2 hours can go. And John's with us. Yeah, John will be with us in just a minute. Leo has him on the line. He'll be talking about chemtrails, and he'll be there. Oh, you got the wrong. Oh, there he is. Okay.
Are we live on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Well, it's. That to be the last show. It came as a great shock when I found out that this would be it. But
we were kind of shocked.
Glad to have been able to get the information about the continuing catastrophe called chemtrails out to the public in the listening area. And in fact, I was up in Salisbury on Monday, and
I have
to say the skies were absolutely a mess with the jet planes spraying these asbestos-sized compounds, barium, toxic metals, all to do with weather modification. Some of the people might have seen a couple of the parallel lines with a big S shape that looked like a dollar bill sign right over a tectonic road there. I saw it from a house I was up in. It was just unbelievable. Did you guys notice it on Monday?
Actually, no.
Well, it was very bad. I was at Le Bon's in the center of Salisbury when I came out.
You know what? Actually, Woody called me up and said, "Man, you got to see this crazy thing. It looks like they're putting a dollar sign up in the air."
Yeah, they did a circle, literally, I would say, over the lake in Lakeville. I don't know what the name of it is there, but
Lakeville.
A plane went up, and approximately, I know it's higher altitude, approximately halfway across the lake, it just did a complete U-turn and came back, heading back towards, I guess, Kane in that direction.
It's unbelievable,
What's going on? Some people might have seen it, and I'm taking it tonight that we've had the regular audience who already knows it. But there's always the person out there who's tuned in who doesn't know what we're talking about.
And I wanted to before you go on, I just wanted to mention that Johnny's going to be on. He's going to have his segment on our internet program as well every Tuesday night at maybe at
same time.
Same time. If Johnny wants to do it at the same time.
Well, I'll do my best to. I will organize that with you later.
But we want to have. We're hoping that Johnny will be able to do the regular segment every Tuesday night on the blogtalkradio.com/@LeeStillShow.org. All right.
Just something else tonight. I just noticed I was having dinner tonight here, and this is to do with the planes spraying. Anytime the jets are going over, or even small like crop dusters, whatever, which we don't have in this area very much, people should be concerned. I mean, given the fact that it was an attack in our country in 9/11 by jet planes, were used supposedly anyway. We know there were certainly planes involved, and that's why being observant in the sky above it is an important thing. At dinner tonight, like I said, I was listening to NPR on the radio, and Katie Couric's Notebook comes on. You know, she gives a blurb. I hate to advertise for her because I can't stand NPR or Katie Couric, but it was on in the background. And one of the things she talked about tonight was the cancer in women. And she said normally you'd ask people, you know, what's the most severe cancer where women get? They all tend to be saying it's breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out not to be true. The most common cause of cancer in women is now more women die of lung cancer. And this is not related to them smoking at all. So something is happening that women are coming down at the rate of 250 women a day are dying across the United States. That's about 91,000 or something, give or take, a year. That's a huge population call. And that's just one example, lung cancer. That doesn't include the statistics on men. Katie Couric's Notebook says she probably was just appealing to a more female audience, I take it, at the time of the evening it went on. Then she went on to say, what on earth is going on? We must find out what's going on here. And that's it from Katie Couric's Notebook. And I was just there, like, slack-jawed, kind of saying, check out geoengineering schemes, weather alteration, weather modification, to myself. You know, and I feel sad for all those folks who get cancer, especially when the air we breathe is now laden, you know, with these asbestos-sized fibers and toxic metals, which include, like I said, the barium salts, the aluminum oxide, and even the radioactive thorium.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these things are used for military applications of weather modification, using weather as a weapon. They experiment all the time. They sometimes have actually put it into practice. It's been admitted they use weather modification at things like the Beijing Olympics, and there's, you know, various other examples I could get into about that. Another thing that's happening is because of these sprayings, large trees all over the world. And when I talk about the spraying in over your area, it just was one area that happened to be more local. I'm sure it was going on in Ohio. It's going on all over the world. Germany is extremely bad for this spraying. The barium that they use is very bad. It's an earth mineral. And now numerous researchers are reporting that it's toxic to all mammals. Now it's used to poison us. It is part of an aerosolized chemical brew that to help make it snow sometimes, and that snow is used to top up the reservoirs for places like California. Pacific Gas and Electric have been using weather modification companies for probably 50 years at least to create more snowpack, which turns then into melt in the spring and fills up all the reservoirs. So, you know, sometimes it has to be done, but they normally use only silver iodide, and most of those projects, I think, were only done with, like, Learjet. But we're seeing something far bigger. They literally are blocking out the sun. If you take the time, and a lot of people don't have the time to do this, but if you had a slow-lapse camera or just while you're working, just check every so often, you will watch that those white trails, which people think is just condensation, and you'll see other planes up there right beside them, just with normal condensation trails disappearing like a couple of feet behind the plane. Those larger ones, the big trails, they linger, turn into a artificial type cirrus cloud, all sorts of weird shapes. And, you know, it's sort of microscopically spreading out very, very slowly like an upper atmospheric fog. And it does eventually join up to form like a complete, what we call an aerosol bank, because this chemical is aerosolized, designed. So it's pretty bad stuff. And there are actually people around New York City have been reporting very serious nosebleeds lately. I mean, severe enough, it's like as if a water faucet had been turned on, that type of series. Also, people with pets, cats and dogs have had, you know, these water faucet-type nosebleeds. And the trees, a lot of the trees are starting to be very seriously affected. You know, the mycorrhizae in the soil is being altered. So we're in a lot of trouble with this. So we've really got to try and warn people that when you see those planes overhead, don't be afraid to speak up and tell people what's going on. It's actually been on TV, the History Channel. I'm going to play you a short clip. It's about 3 minutes.
Okay.
The channel did an hour documentary. I'll run this right now and you can just see.
Okay.
Strange phenomena occurring in our sky. High-flying U.S. Air Force tankers dispersing chemicals into the atmosphere. That appear in the sky. We have.
Really can't escape it. No, because you're talking with chemicals that are at the nano size particulate. You're looking under the. You have to look at these with a an electron microscope. So it's entrenched in the air of
in the air.
Entire planet possibly mm-hmm. right now. It's basically conductive, or as Clifford Carnicom referred to it as, it is now a plasma. And that can be seen to be true because when there's lightning now, the lightning is way, way more vicious because they have tampered with the, there's an electronic jet basically, I don't mean a jet stream sort of around this planet. It isn't just sort of clear air up there, no more than there's just soil down under your feet. There's oil and there's magma. There's all sorts of things going on. All of this spray that they put in, the sulfur dioxide, they'll cause major problems for us eventually down below here. But meanwhile, the lightning is probably one of the things that's most dangerous. Mm-hmm. I would advise anybody get out immediately off a golf course or if you're swimming on a lake. The lightning is, I almost had guys wiped out on a landscape job. A tree beside us just after we'd left got really badly smashed up.
Really?
Yeah, so we would have been, it was splintered like so bad it looked like a cannonball had hit it.
Wow.
That's kind of scary. You were smart enough to leave, though. That was good.
Well, it got so dark, it was, we knew, and it rained within seconds of us just getting into the truck. So we just took off and abandoned our shovels and spades. I mean, it was absolutely, went dark as night for about 2 minutes. We thought
wow.
a tornado was coming.
Wow.
Then the lightning strike hit, and we were probably, 150 yards down the road. I looked back and jokingly said, I must have been right where we were. But I went back because I'd forgotten something. I was the shovels and spade about 2 hours later. It cleared out, and that tree was hit. And that was enough to scare me. And I've seen it at nighttime here as well, with the way it just lights up the whole sky like an arc welder in a shop or something.
Hey, John, what's your opinion of this huge storm now? A 2,000-mile storm, all right, that's coming. I mean, nobody's seen anything like this super monster storm, they've called it. Do you think that plasmic atmosphere has anything to do with that?
Oh, I think that they're definitely toying around with it. The Navy came out with a research paper. If I could bring it right up here. The Navy research paper, disrupt economies with man-made floods and droughts. And, of course, that would also include snowstorms, tornadoes that are controllable, all sorts of things. I give you an example. They did weather warfare in Vietnam. It was the Operation Popeye. That's well known.
Right.
Where they caused the extension of the monsoon season over the Ho Chi Minh Trail during the Vietnam War. So it was to cause it to extend the muddy season so the supply line would be disrupted. And, yes, it was very successful, but, of course, the Vietnamese, they slogged through it on bicycles and on foot, but nonetheless, a lot of lessons were learned. So we know that was back in the 1960s. But right now, there's probably other things they've got around to, and mistakes can happen. It could be on purpose, or it could be a consequence of, tampering with nature that's causing these things.
Or something they're doing on the other side of the world.
Where the Russians are really mm-hmm. into it, too. For all we know, there could be weather warfare going on between two countries at the highest levels. If you believe it's just the Republicans and Democrats here run things and equivalent in Russia or China, there's a whole other bunch of elite players going on.
Well, John, it's 10 o'clock and we gotta run here, but I just wanted to say thanks for all of the great reporting that you've done and being on for so many years with us, and all that you've taught us. And I hope you'll continue that with our new show, our new Tuesday night show on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'd love to.
And boy, I'll tell you, you've made a definite impression on a lot of people, and in this area because of your activism and your concern. We just wanted to thank you publicly.
Thanks so much for being with us.
For being a buddy and a good buddy, and also being such a strong advocate for the people out there and for letting them know.
Right. So if anybody who misses the show and you want to get your own knowledge now that, you know, we're not going to be on the air locally on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
You know, what you can do is test your own rainwater. You know, whenever they're spraying, just beef up your knowledge, I guess, on this.
Go into the computer and
type in
chemtrails.
It'll
come up.
Connecticut Sky Watch, right here in Connecticut.
Right, check that too.
Yeah, that has all sorts of the patents that the government and its contractors have. I mean, you got Barium Blues, chemtrails911.com. They'll give you plenty of information. And then if you could even start the Citizens Watch Group in your area, and get active in the legal and political system.
Okay.
Well, the best thing, John, that people can do is to tune into blogtalkradio.com, /LASteelShow.org, and they'll be able to listen to you.
On Tuesday night.
Yeah, okay, they can certainly do that.
Right.
So we look forward to that. Thanks very much, John.
Okay, I've been great being with you guys on the radio over the years, and I'm really going to miss WQQQ.
Okay, thank you.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
John Brennan talking to us.
And
so we got just about everybody in there.
There you go.
Yeah, we squeezed them all in.
Except the lady from L.A.
Caught in traffic in her car. All right. Joe, you talked to her.
But we wanted, last minute or two, we just wanted to thank Joe Levero here for the many years of support that he's helped us out and kept us on. Yeah, what can I say, Joe? Thanks so much, Joe.
Thank you for being here.
It's been a wonderful ride, and we've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know you love me for all the times I called you up at the last minute and said you're not on because of election results.
We knew that.
Yeah,
we figured it out.
Things have become automatic.
Every other year was the only time we had a day off, which was cool.
Yeah.
And we're proud of that.
Yeah, we really are. We were loyal to our time, and we love doing the show. And we're going to miss all you folks out there, and I hope that you will join us on Blog Talk Radio.
Yep.
And
blogtalkradio.com/LASteelShow.org. Or for those hearing impaired, just go to LASteelShow.org and click on Listen Live and then enjoy the bonanza of LA Steel shows that you will see there. All right. And
how about listening? How about singing with us?
Joe's got a voice there.
All right. Ready? Happy trails
to you
until we meet again.
Let's start that one again.
Happy trails.
Wait.
Want to go again?
And a one. And you know the Lawrence Welk there? And a one. And a two.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling on till then. Happy trails to you till we meet again on Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Thanks, everybody, and we hope you have a wonderful life, and we will. And again, don't forget, Naked at the Mic, the survival of a liberal in a time of peril. And for all the history of the station, for the LA Steel Show. And don't forget, I already forgot it.
Blog Talk Radio. And thanks for listening and being loyal to us and join us on Blog Talk Radio. We look forward to hearing from you.
blogtalkradio.com/LASteelShow.org. Okay. So anyway, thanks. And
good night, folks.
Hopefully we will play this segment out here. Let's see here. Hang on. There we go. Good night, everybody.
Stop. What's that sound? Everybody, look what's going down.
You've been listening to the LA Steel Talk Radio Show. Join us here again every Tuesday night, 8 to 10 p.m. on Q103.3.
The opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the management, staff, or advertisers of Q103. 103 FM.
Today's hit, yesterday's favorite, WQQQ. Sharon Lake, Bill Milliken.
Progressive community, politics, activism, art, and music with Lila, our special guests, and me, L.A. Steel.
everybody. That was the end of that show. And sorry, there was a little mess up there on the clip there with the YouTube clip. But I wanted to thank you, and I hope you'll support this show. It'll be on every Tuesday night now, right here on Blog Talk Radio, 2 hour format, and we will have special guests and Woody in the Ring, a sports segment, and we will have John Brennan and in his Blog Talk, chemtrail updates and environmental updates. And we're going to include another segment on the show, too. I believe we'll probably add a health update, environmental news, but more so give you abreast of GMOs and other health, vaccinations, that kind of thing. But want to do a little segment on that, possibly. But I think overall I want to thank everybody. Hope you support us. And I want to thank everybody that was on the show, all of our friends, and and we wish them all the very best as Q103 WQQQ 103.3 FM sails off into the sunset. The LA Steel Show is still going strong right here on Blog Talk Radio, and that's blogtalkradio.com. /LASteelShow.org. Tell your friends about it. Bookmark us right here. You can get us again in the archives, of course. But we'll be on 8 to 10 p.m. every Tuesday night and 8 to 9 Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights. So join us right here. I want to thank everybody and have a pleasant evening. Join us tomorrow night. Join me tomorrow night when we venture into the into the fourth dimension. And we may have a special guest. We may have Maria Fixelchiri with us. Well, good night.